Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
We are starting the week with a bang here on the Gabe Kuhn Show. Monday, July 21st, 2025 is the date. Welcome in. I am your host, Gabe Kuhn, on X at G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside the executive producer of the show. That would be Connor Dunning on X at C99. Connor, how are you feeling, brother?
Big show.
Yes.
Big show.
Big show. The University of Memphis has thrown a offer, what is being defined by Ross Dellinger from Yahoo Sports as the most lucrative membership offer of all time, to the Big 12. Now, the Big 12 has denied without a vote, but we will talk about that off the top. Also, in some University of Memphis news, I know basketball season's a long way away, but it's always basketball season here. We have some bad news. Sincere Parker arrested for aggravated assault over the weekend from a situation that, from what I understand, happened at the end of May. So a little bit of a delay there in sort of holding him accountable and charging him, but he is being held at 201 Poplar, from what I understand. He is still on the team, but we will talk about that. As far as guests are concerned on the show today, we're loaded up. David Cobb, 5 o'clock per normal from CBS Sports. We are going to talk about this lucrative offer that the University of Memphis has thrown in the Big 12's lap. And then at 6 o'clock, did not expect this when I scheduled this guest, but I think he'll want to talk about it as well. Jarvis Greer, former Memphis Tiger football player. You know him from WMC Action News 5. You know him from Grizz Beat with Grind City Media. But you know him and love him. We'll talk to him at 6 o'clock, and we'll get to some football conversation as well for Memphis. But Memphis throws an absolutely insane offer in the laps of Brett Yormark and the rest of the Big 12. This proposal that Memphis gave out to try to gain membership to the Big 12, this is what it includes: taking zero distribution for the final 5 years of the Big 12's TV deal with ESPN and Fox, providing Big 12 with sponsorships in excess of $150 million over 5 years, in a day and age where you need as much revenue as possible because now players are getting that revenue. Also, this is the most insane part of it: being subject to expulsion after 2030-31 if the Big 12 deems the Tigers aren't adding value. So they threw $200 million out there, $150 million of which would be sponsorships from whether Lowe's or FedEx or all that, they're throwing that to the Big 12. And they'd be subject to expulsion after 2030-31 if the Big 12 deem they aren't adding enough value. Now, I've seen a lot of people in sort of response to the Big 12's response by saying no, they didn't even hold a vote. They said they're not interested at this time. We'll see if they can get interested, a little more interested, after this year or going into the future. But I've seen a lot of people sort of approach this with shame, right? Memphis Tigers, Memphis Athletics, they're never going to get where they want to go. They're going to be stuck in the American forever. And also, you have to offer all that money just to get to a bigger conference? And ultimately, they say no in this case? I see a lot of shame thrown at the University of Memphis. I'm going to do the complete opposite, right? And I've heard some people sort of mimic this take. But ultimately, I think it shows a very clear vision and effort, and they're turning up everything they possibly can from a pressure perspective on these big conferences to try to take them. And for me, I know the Big 12 said no, and it's a bit embarrassing, but for me, it shows an aggressiveness from Ed Scott and the powers that be at the University of Memphis trying to get them into greener pastures. They realize that they're not long for the American. If they're long for the American long term, they may end up in Division II if we get the next 10 or 20 years headed where I think we're going to head. But I like the aggression at the very least. I know you got to know, but that's my first sort of take of the day. I think this is an aggressiveness that we've been longing for a long time.
Yeah, I think that, again, Gabe, we say this a lot. This is one of those situations that requires nuance, and a few things can be true at once. The first one is it's a gut punch, and it absolutely sucks that you can't buy your way into the Big 12 with this type of offer. That is difficult to swallow. That is difficult to deal with. It is you assume that if you would offer up this type of deal to a conference, which is essentially a no-risk offer for that conference, that they would take it. But they said no. And there are a few reasons why they said no, and I'm sure that we're going to get into them, of the possibilities that went into that. But I think at the same time, you can say, okay, well, at least Memphis isn't being complacent. They clearly don't want to be in the American, and they are putting together offers, and they're putting forth the effort to get out of this conference. That it is kind of wild that the University of Memphis was able to even offer a deal like
million,
this.
Right.
That is a surprise. I mean, I think that a lot of people today, one of the revelations of this offer is the relationship that Memphis has with a place like Lowe's. Like, I don't think that any of us understood that Memphis had this type of relationship with Lowe's, and the information has come out that the CEO of Lowe's is a Memphis graduate, and that's where that connection comes into place. So on one hand, you can have that disappointment, and you can feel like you've been gut punched because this is a really good offer that Memphis made to the Big 12, and ultimately they said no. And there's a little bit of embarrassment in that, I suppose, but at the same time, I am glad that they even made this offer. They put forth the effort to do it. And my hope is that another conference sees this type of deal and wants to get into business with Memphis. Or, you know, the next step could be you still have the possibility of Pac-12 football, Big East for all the other sports and basketball. That can still be out there. The ACC is still there. Like, that's still a possibility. Would it even take this type of deal to get into the ACC, or could you get in with less than what you offered the Big 12, to be honest with you? The ACC, I don't think is if you want to get into the ACC and the ACC wants to do business with you, I don't know if this type of deal is worth the ACC. You might maybe tweak it a little bit. Maybe not that amount of money, and the whole, you know, I don't want to be kicked out thing at 2030, 2031. So there are some tweaks that you could make for the deal with the ACC. But I think that this shows that Memphis is actively trying to get out of this conference, and that is a good thing. It is what all of us want. It's what Ed Scott wants. It's what Bill Hargrave wants. It's what every Memphis fan wants, because all of us understand that the American is ultimately a sinking ship, and it is not where you want to be in college athletics now. Again, it's a gut punch, and it sucks, and you can feel bad about it for a moment. But on the other hand, I think that you have to acknowledge the effort that was put forth by Memphis, and hopefully that can lead to change down the road. I also think that there were some positives in this story that came out that we have to acknowledge as well. Like, the amount of money that Memphis now has that they can give student-athletes, and they have an NIL, like, all of that is big news.
Sort of buried in that Ross Dellinger story from Yahoo Sports is that Memphis, with a new donation and a new gift from FedEx, could get $20.5 million worth of revenue share.
That's big.
Which is the top of, I mean, that's the cap. That's the absolute cap. So there is that. I also, some of the shame came in with buying your way into a conference. But the truth of the matter is, I think we need to remember back in, September 2023, mm-hmm. SMU set a precedent for non-power conference teams to get into a power conference. They paid $200 million, foregoed the full media rights revenue for 9 years. Like, this is how you have to do it now. The old way of being, you know, sort of sitting pat and just being good and raising as much money and getting as much fan interaction as possible, that's gone for a lot of schools in Memphis's ilk. Whether it be Boise State or Tulane or UTSA or South Florida, you have to do this to ultimately show value to a conference. I still, for the life of me, though, it is what you said. It's a gut punch to have this type of offer on the table and still get a no. It just feels like, in a day and age where you need as much revenue as possible, $200 million worth of revenue for the Big 12, and not having to pay them any type of TV media deal, that feels like it should be an automatic yes. And you can forego, like, adding them back to the conference in 2030-31 if you don't think they're good enough. Now, I think it would be hard to do by the time we got there if they ultimately said yes to this. But still, all of these things, it felt like no risk at all for the Big 12, all reward, potentially adding Memphis. But they still, right now, are not interested. And with that, like I can't find overwhelmingly good reasons as to why the Big 12 said no without a vote. Obviously, their member institutions don't want to add, whether it's Memphis or anybody else. They just clearly don't want to add from the Group of Five structure at this particular moment. But when it comes to like the bare bones, full-on reason, I can't really give you a good explanation. I think it's a mix of things. It's how do you think Memphis would actually fare in the Big 12? That comes into consideration. Ultimately, down the road, if Memphis sticks, it's another school you have to pay out your TV media rights to. And then I do think, and I've long stood by this, I think perception to at least a certain extent about the city and crime and the market itself, I think that's always played into these conversations, whether we want to admit that or not. But this seemed like a sweet deal for the Big 12, the best deal, really, membership deal in the history of college athletics, and yet Memphis is still, as of this moment, in the American Athletic Conference.
Yeah, I think all those things are true. Unfortunately, there is still a perception of Memphis, I think, from certain universities, and I think that that's one of the reasons that it could be difficult to be in the ACC with a few of those teams as well. We don't even have to name them. I think everybody knows who I may be talking about when we're talking about the ACC. And that is something that Memphis will have to overcome. And, you know, to be honest, the summer of news that has been with Memphis in the national media has probably not been helpful.
Right.
Looking at you, Stephen A. Smith. And that is something that Memphis will always have to deal with. It doesn't matter how much progress we may make. It doesn't matter how much progress we want to make as citizens, that the mayor wants to make, that our officials want to make. That is going to be the perception of Memphis that you will have to overcome when it comes to conference realignment. And that is one of those reasons I think Memphis came with such an aggressive offer, because I think that they understand that. Another reason I think that the Big 12 may have said no to this is it's no secret that they are waiting for Florida State and they're waiting for Clemson. And it's not just Memphis they've said no to. They've also said no to schools like UConn. And I think it's because they're probably looking at it and saying, if we are going to add schools, we want it to be Clemson and FSU.
Why not wait for the power conference?
Right. Exactly.
In the ACC to completely
fold? Right. And that's why it's just, it's a huge damn. Because it felt like this is the type of offer that could buy you into a place like the Big 12. And that is why this feels like a gut punch. Because it is a really, really good offer from Memphis. Memphis is taking a lot of risk here, but the Big 12 would not be taking that risk. So you have to ask yourself, well, why did they say no? I think part of it is the perception of Memphis. I think part of it is they are waiting on FSU and Clemson. I think part of it is that they wouldn't want to add a 17th school and have to split up revenue around that. You have an odd number of schools, which can be weird with scheduling.
Sure.
Ultimately, though, we don't really know why they said no. It just sucks that they did say no. So what can Memphis do now?
Yes. How do you pivot?
And right. How do
you pivot? My next question is, okay, this offer, you have the funds and the ability to make this offer to the Big 12. Do you make that offer to the ACC? That's a little bit tougher for me because of what you just talked about.
Right.
The ACC, it's no secret that Florida State, Clemson, North Carolina, Virginia, they want out at some point. And they may have some takers, whether it be Big 10, Big 12, SEC. So how does that look by the time you get what you want? Right? You get into the ACC using all that money, forfeiting all these media rights deal. They can still kick you out in 2031 if you offered that same thing to the ACC. Is the ACC going to be on the level of the Big 12 here in 5 years when you feel like you should be taking advantage? I don't know. I think that's the obvious pivot that everyone is sort of asking about right now. But I think there's even more risk for Memphis if they were to offer this to the ACC ultimately. And you still, let's keep this in mind, travel costs harder in the ACC. You have all those schools up there on the East Coast and in the Northeast, and then you have to, two times a year, whatever it may look like, you have Stanford and Cal in the ACC. So you'd have to go all the way out to the West Coast, so the travel costs are not the same. The Big 12 is easy. It's all in your sort of area. You don't really have to travel all that far. You don't have to pony up a whole bunch of money. So the ACC is a little bit trickier, but I wouldn't be surprised if the University of Memphis has some interest in taking this offer, translating it, and putting it in the ACC's lap, because the ACC has already said yes to one school from the American Athletic Conference, and that was SMU a couple years ago.
Absolutely, and that is where Memphis, we have to have the conversation of, does this deal make sense for the ACC? My initial thought is, some tweaks to this deal, going to the ACC would probably make sense.
Don't let them kick you out in 2031.
Yeah, I think getting rid of that would make sense. Maybe lowering the time in which you wouldn't get revenue from the ACC media rights deals would make
sense.
But
it did take 9 years for SMU.
That is also true. I do think, though, Memphis could say, listen, there's no secret what's going to happen to your conference in a few years anyway. So go ahead and add us, and we can try to start bringing some additional revenue to the ACC.
You get $200 million worth of revenue off top.
Exactly. So I think it would make sense for Memphis and the ACC to get into business together. And I understand people who are saying, well, the ACC might look like the American in a few years. First off, no, it won't. Like, as bad as the ACC could potentially look if they lost some of these schools, it's not going to be as bad as what the American is right now.
Well,
it's dreadful and only getting worse.
I do get the kick out of the fact that today Memphis tries to get out of the American Athletic Conference. And the American has completely shifted and rebranded. Now they're the American Conference,
so
not the American Athletic Conference. And there's a new mascot, Soar the Eagle. Soar the Eagle. That is what the American Athletic Conference, or the American Conference now, is trying to do to fight against where college athletics are headed.
Just awful. Just awful. It is. I did think it was kind of funny that that news came out, and then within, what, 2 or 3 hours, Memphis was like, get me the hell out of this stupid conference, please. Somebody come save us. We'll give
and
you $200
the scenes,
million.
Like,
dollars. We won't take any money back.
That deal.
And you can
get
even
the
kick us out,
out
later. Just get us
Send
out of here.
Send the facts.
Right. Now, I don't know if you've noticed it, but on social media, Memphis is one of the schools that has not even acknowledged the branding of American now. They haven't acknowledged it. They haven't tweeted it out. Some schools have. Memphis has not. I don't think that's an accident. There is no secret that Memphis wants out of this conference, and going to the ACC, even if it would be weakened by losses like FSU and Clemson, would be better for Memphis. You have got to get out of the American and into one of these conferences, and the ACC probably makes the most sense, especially if you can approach them with this type of offer. Again, there needs to be some tweaks to it, because I don't necessarily think it is as strong as the Big 12. It wouldn't make as much sense to give them a clause to kick you out. But as a whole, or at the basis of this offer, I think you could take to the ACC and say, could we do some business? There's a mutual benefit here for both of us.
It's hard not to be. Because I am. I've been doom and gloom when it comes to conference realignment for the University of Memphis for a long time.
It sucks.
This offer in particular, being dead to rights, being a no as soon as it's delivered to the Big 12, it makes me think that this idea of being aligned with the power structure, with the athletic department at the University of Memphis, it makes me think it's never going to happen. That's my realistic overall take on this situation and the way it's unfolded. Now, I do want to be clear. The Big 12 said no, and they did not vote. That means something. It means that they never had any interest in this. But they didn't say no forever, I guess, if you want to take the positive side on this thing. But the fact that they got a no on this particular deal, when it felt like just no risk at all, the only risk you'd be taking is, I guess, potentially making your conference look a little bit more unserious with the likes of Memphis in your conference. But you already took the top three teams from the American Athletic Conference, and Memphis was competing with them in football and basketball on a yearly basis, Cincinnati, UCF, and Houston. So I just don't see the inherent risk for the Big 12 and why they would completely shoot this down off the top. Unless it's just Memphis is never going to get to where they want to go in the power structure.
My takeaway when it comes to the Big 12 here is, if this offer didn't get you in, I'm not sure there's any offer.
There's no
will.
Offer.
So, you know, to be honest, the Big 12, in my opinion, for the future is just off the table. If this is the type of offer that they say no to, then they're probably never going to say yes to you.
Like, no vote at all?
No vote is tough.
What, they just get on a conference call, Brent Yormark call a conference call with the chancellors and the presidents of each school, and they just yay or nay it?
I'm really curious. Like, because
How does something that could be so impactful for your conference, when we're at an inflection point in college athletics when it comes to revenue, with the house settlement and revenue being harder to generate, harder and harder, like, why would this just be an immediate no without a vote? That's just strange to me.
My question is, how many schools were actually interested in it, and how far away from the 12 were you?
Yeah.
Because for there to not
be a
vote.
Could you go out on the road if you're Ed Scott and try to sway some of the schools that said no?
Maybe. I don't know. At the same time, though, if you're making this type of offer to a conference and they've said no, and there is, let's say that there's a possibility of the ACC, I think it would probably make the most sense to go ahead and turn your attention to the ACC, at least for now, and say, listen, Big 12, you said no to this. If we can't figure out something with the ACC, maybe we can come back to the table and maybe up the offer if need be, or we can tour and talk to the presidents and the ADs of the rest of the schools. But for now, it just feels like the Big 12 isn't a possibility for Memphis. So it would feel like a bit of a waste of time to waste more energy and time on it when the ACC could be a possibility, or the Pac-12 with the Big East split could be a possibility. It's just, that is why it just feels like Memphis is stuck, because they are the top of these schools. They are at the very top of it. They just can't find a rescue boat. They just can't get out of here. And that is why it is discouraging. And I understand people who are doom and gloom because of this. It's just, there are things to be positive about that are within this deal, the effort and the revenue sharing and all of those things, and wanting to get out of this conference. But at the same time, it's just another no. And it feels like there's just a sea of no's that Memphis has had to go through when trying to get into another conference. So, you know, I understand why some people might say, well, if we talk to the ACC, they're probably just going to say no too. To which I would say, make them say no.
Yeah.
Make them say, like, this is the type of offer that would be
hard different.
For
2 years ago, SMU did the same thing.
Down. Right.
SMU did the same thing in the ACC.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Also, just
yes.
Finger to you, SMU, for making it be this way now.
Yeah, this is the precedent.
This is the precedent.
This is what you have to do.
We said when it happened, we said, oh, this is the precedent now. If Memphis wants to get in one of these conferences, guess what's going to have to happen? This.
Yes. But ultimately, I believe two things at once. One, I have succumbed to the idea that this is never going to happen. Memphis will never get into a power conference or be in the future power structure of college athletics for football and basketball. But at the same time, I do want to reserve some type of credit for Ed Scott and his team behind the scenes, who haven't been here that long, for being more aggressive than any athletic department or athletic director in the history of this school. Like, those two things exist at the same time. And I know there's some people out there that are tired of, like, constantly saying, well, Memphis is being aggressive. They're doing everything they can to get out of this conference because they just want to see it happen. But I do think you still need to reserve some level of credit for the higher-ups here at this university. This is the best and biggest effort in college sports history to get yourself to a better pasture, to a greener pasture. And I think that some level of credit needs to be thrown their way for that.
I do think it is impressive that Memphis's athletic department was able to line up this kind of offer.
I couldn't
with
believe
this
it.
Level of sponsorships. When I first saw the number,
200
I was like, oh my God, Memphis has that type of spending power? And when you start reading the story, again, I don't think anybody understood the relationship that Memphis has with the place like Lowe's. And that is why my hope is, now that this is public, maybe another conference looks at it and says, oh, Memphis has that type of money? Maybe we get into bed with Memphis. Maybe we start talking to Memphis. That is my hope, is that the ripple effect of this no may turn into something for Memphis later on. But that doesn't change the fact that right now, man, it feels dark. It
you
does.
You threw
it,
everything at them in your power. This is not like back in the day when Fred at FedEx, and they offered to sponsor the championship game for the Big 12 in order to get Memphis in the conference. This isn't that. This is $200 million.
Mm-hmm.
200 million big ones thrown directly at a conference, and you gave them an out for you in 5 years, and they still said, no, we're not even going to vote on it. We don't want you.
That's why I'm not going to blame anyone for how they feel about this. I think there's a positive spin of this that you could look at, and there's also a very obvious negative spin that you can look at this as, and I don't think either is wrong. I think that
I'm trying to
balance both of them, because I don't think either is wrong,
Connor.
Right.
I just think that getting a no, with this being the most prolific and sizable offer
mm-hmm.
for membership in the history of college athletics,
hard to take.
That's what outweighs any good.
Like, I agree with that.
There is good. There is some positivity and a spin you can make with Ed Scott and this athletic department being as aggressive as they ever have been. That pales in comparison to getting a no on a $200 million deal.
I agree.
And not taking any money for however many years it was going to be, for the last 5 years of this deal that the Big 12 has.
I can't lie. When I read it, the first thing that popped into my head was Will Smith saying, why don't he want me?
Yes! The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air meme.
Why don't he want me?
Yeah,
it is hard to grasp that $200 million, no revenue sharing, and the option to be kicked out in a couple of years was, nah, we're good. We're going to pass.
We're not even going to vote on it.
Oh, my God. You can't even vote on it?
You can't even get on a conference call and get affirmative yeses and nos.
Can't even give me some false hope, man? Come on. Yeah, it's without a doubt. The negative aspect of this outweighs the positive. I'm just happy that we have an athletic department whose clear priority is to get out of this conference. Because when Ed Scott took the job, he said, I want to get Memphis into a better situation. And that is clearly what he was doing. At least we have proof of concept of that. But God, it does feel like your heart got ripped out. Because when that story first hit the timeline, you see Memphis, Big 12, $200 million, and you're like,
high of hopes is possible.
Oh my God,
is it going to happen?
And then as you keep reading, it just feels like your heart gets ripped out of your chest. And there's no way around that. It is bad news. And the perception of Memphis is clearly part of this, and that is something that is difficult to grapple with.
In the end of the day, the reaction I had when I saw the Big 12 have no interest and didn't even vote on it was, if this isn't enough,
what is?
What is? They've had success on the field. They're at the top of market when it comes to NIL and revenue share when it comes to the Group of Five. New stadium, owned by the university now, in Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. You play in a professional sports arena, professional basketball arena in FedEx Forum, and you have a history in basketball. Penny Hardaway, by the way, in himself is a draw because of who he is and who he was as a basketball player and what he's been as a coach. Like, if that plus $200 million isn't enough, and an out in 5 years to say we don't want you anymore, if that's too big of a risk, then Memphis is always just going to be too big of a risk for any power conference to ever take on.
I'm also going to be honest about it. When I'm looking in the club of the Big 12, I'm like, how the hell did UCF get in there?
Yes.
I'm like, we can't get in and UCF's in there? That dumbass got in there? They've been terrible since they went to the Big 12. How are
Houston
they in there?
And football has been horrible, too. So,
like, it's like, come on, man. Like, I got potential.
And by the way, look at like Cincinnati.
Yes.
Since they've gotten in, have been, but they're more money, big, I guess, slightly bigger market there. Like, I guess that's part of it. But they've been horrible in basketball and football. Like, just not, no tournament appearances. Football, they've completely devolved since Luke Fickle left.
When it comes to the reasons why they said no, which one do you think is at the top of the list? For me, it is.
I have no other reason. Like,
I personally think it's the ACC stuff. Why they said no right now.
Why?
I think that they're waiting on Clemson and FSU. I don't think they wanted to add a school before that happens, because they're already at 16 teams.
Yes.
So I think they could be viewing it as, if we added 17 and then potential ACC
19.
Schools, that is a lot of revenue split that would happen.
Yeah, but you could. But if you
I
get,
guess they could kick him out.
If you get Clemson, Florida State plus $200 million completely, and you don't have to pay Memphis a cent, I mean, you still have a lot to gain if you're the Big 12.
That's true.
Because you could, by the time that TV deal comes up, which you're paying Memphis none for, if ultimately you said yes to this, you could improve your TV revenue if you were to get your hands on Clemson and Florida State, which I think the SEC might be takers for them as well, and you're not beating the SEC if the SEC wants something.
Right.
Listen, I guess that's part of it. It's hard for me, and this is where I've ultimately come down on this, is it just feels like perception plays a way bigger factor than I ever wanted to give it credit for.
I think that's very true.
And I also stand by this. I think when it comes to the Memphis sports market, I think people are willfully ignorant to what it could be. And to what it is, quite frankly. Because I think you have at least like a little bit of a hold. If you're the Big 12 and you agree to this, there's some level of SEC crossover. This is an SEC melting pot city.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at least you have a footprint there. And that's another power conference you're hoping to compete against in the future. I just felt like there were overwhelming positives and still no vote, no. Crazy. Crazy stuff. We'll see if there's more updates before the day is over, but we need to go ahead and pivot. We'll come back, and I hate to say it, more bad news on Memphis basketball, on the Memphis basketball front. Sincere Parker, who was, projected to be a starter and potentially be one of the leading scorers on next year's Memphis basketball team, he has been arrested for aggravated assault, and he's going to have to go through the court process. We'll talk about that. Something we did neglect to mention when talking about the $200 million offer that Memphis made to the Big 12 for membership today, most lucrative offer in the history of college athletics, especially with the out time in 5 years. If Memphis did not, hold up their end of the bargain, the Big 12 could kick them out. It'd be free of cost. Something we neglected to mention is the fact that Memphis would not necessarily be a black mark on the Big 12 when it came to football and basketball and their competitiveness. I know that's a big question. When you go from the American Athletic Conference, or the American Conference now, to a power conference, what would your competition level be like? Would you be at the bottom of the conference? Would you float around the middle? Obviously, I think most schools hope to float around the middle. Well, historically, Memphis has been pretty good against Big 12 teams, Connor. Not only have they beaten Big 12 teams in back-to-back years in bowl games and football, football all-time against the Big 12 schools, 5-2, and Memphis basketball against Big 12 schools, this is a pretty impressive record, 36-19. So, like, when it comes to competition, it feels like that wouldn't be a massive reason for the Big 12 to turn away from Memphis, thinking that they'll just be bottom of the conference and embarrassing to the conference, ultimately, from a competitive standpoint.
Have we considered that the Big 12 are scared little babies? And they don't
want
like
the
powerhouse of Memphis being in there.
We haven't considered that yet. It's a Memphis, a powder keg waiting to just win the Big 12 in year one if they get in. Is that what we're saying? Both sports?
I choose to believe that.
Yeah, I hear you. Now, when it comes to, I guess I just brought up both sports, but Memphis basketball had a tough week. And they've had a really tough offseason, let's be completely honest. But it got added to this weekend as Sincere Parker, transferred from McNeese State and also from SLU, he was arrested on an aggravated assault charge stemming from an incident that happened on May 27th. He was with a woman, and this woman accuses him of allegedly shoving her, punching her, and ultimately choking her. Now, it didn't happen until July 15th, where the Memphis police reached out to the woman, and the woman picked out Sincere Parker and his picture. So I guess she didn't have his name or whatever, but apparently it had happened at his apartment. But July 15th is the day where police started really investigating this. He was charged over the weekend with aggravated assault, and he was held on what was originally $120,000 bond. It was lowered to $75,000 because originally they thought a gun was involved, but a gun was not involved. He had his first, showing in front of court today. There was a lot of beat reporters on hand and reporters on hand. Jason Munns and Parth Upadhyay, who are friends of the show, were on hand. It was at 9 a.m. Apparently, he is going to enter a not guilty plea, and he has officially been released. That's the latest update we have on Sincere Parker. But I just think this goes to show that you can try to have a positive spin on this offseason as much as possible, but things keep stacking up and showing you that this has been an offseason from hell for that program. You lose P.J. Haggerty. You lose Dane Danger. You have no remaining faces, no continuity at all. It feels like money and NIL dollars have not been raised the same way they have been the past couple of years. Now you have a guy who could have been your leading scorer. This was a guy in his per 40 minutes numbers from 2 years ago at SLU was averaging near.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
30 points per game on 42% from three. To have this guy sort of out and not knowing his status going into the season, it just gets worse and worse by the day. That doesn't mean this team still can't be successful, but I can just say from experience when it comes to Penny Hardaway teams, whenever drama pops up, whenever you have this type of drama, it usually doesn't lead to good results. He cut that out last year. He found ways to cut ties with guys that were causing things behind the scenes and problems behind the scenes. Tyreek Smith's a good example of that. So I thought they limited drama last year, and what did it equal? 29-6, ultimately 5 seed in the NCAA tournament. This year, drama's hitting hot and heavy, and it's been coming at us from all angles all offseason.
Yeah, I think that you put it perfectly. There's no real other way to spin it. It's been a very difficult offseason for Memphis basketball. I think that Penny and that staff have done a good job of scheduling. They've done a good job of bringing people in. But unfortunately, this is going to be a massive distraction. And it's something that you never want to be a part of your program at all. Allegations like this. And that is why, for me, there's really only one way to look at this situation as a whole. If it turns out he is guilty, he should not be a part of this Memphis program or anywhere near it. If it turns out he is not, he can be a part of this program. And that is really the only way I can view this. And it's just another thing that Memphis has had to deal with this offseason. It just feels like every time there's been an ounce of hope of something might go the right way, something bad has happened. The Dane Danger waiver being denied, P.J. Haggerty leaving, not having any returning players, Nolan Smith, all of a sudden he's not on your staff anymore. It's, you know, the Big 12 turned you down, and now you have to deal with this as well. It has just been a series of unfortunate events for Memphis Athletics this offseason, most notably for the basketball program.
Yes. Now, Sincere Parker, it feels like maybe the University of Memphis learned a little bit from the Mikey Williams situation not too long ago. When Mikey Williams got his gun charge and his assault with a deadly weapon charge, they just about immediately cut ties, right, the University of Memphis. Now, that was under Laird Veach. Now we're under Ed Scott as the athletic director. The University of Memphis has put out a statement basically saying that they're going to stand by Sincere until the court of law does its thing, which I think is probably the right thing to do. And looking back at the Mikey Williams situation, even though I was calling for them to cut ties because of all the drama they'd had in the past, it was probably the right thing to do then. Now, I wonder if, you know, each guy's particular personality plays a part in why they did what they did with Mikey Williams versus what they're doing with Sincere Parker. But I think the obvious answer is it's a different athletic department structure with different leadership, and they handle these things differently. And I think Ed Scott's handling this the right way.
Yeah, I do too. You got to let it play out in court, see what happens.
Yeah, but when it comes to Sincere Parker and what he was going to mean for this team.
He was going to mean a lot.
I mean, and he could still. We'll see what happens with his day in court or multiple days in court. Not looking good right now, but he was a guy who I thought had potential to be the leading scorer on this team. And I think if you polled most Memphis fans based on what was brought in from the transfer portal, because that's all they brought in. Like, they have no continuity, no returning players. I think most people probably would have picked either Sincere Parker or Doug McDaniel as the leading scorer on this team, and I think most people would probably lean to Sincere Parker given what he has already done at SLU and McNeese State. And without that, offense takes a massive hit. There's no real way to recover right now. In the portal, you're already thin in the front court. Obviously, this is tough on the program in general. It's another, you know, bad look to have somebody caught up with a you know, charge like this. But it's a bad thing for the team as a whole in general, because Sincere Parker was going to play a big role offensively for what they had coming going into next season.
Yeah, I think that, unfortunately, he was probably the prospect I think most people were really excited to see because of his scoring potential. And it just, that all has to be put on hold right now, because we've got to see what happens in court here, what the true story was. Again, if he ends up being guilty, he doesn't need to be a part of this team whatsoever. If it ends up that he is not guilty, then he can come back. And it's just, it's one of those deals right now where you can't, in my opinion, really have a take other than that, because we don't know the information. We don't know the story. We just know what has been said so far. So Memphis has to be careful with the way they approach this. I think it makes sense for them to say, we are going to see how this plays out in court, and then we will make a decision on Sincere Parker, because there's much more information that needs to come out before a definitive answer or a definitive decision can be made on this. It is a highly unfortunate situation that you wish Memphis basketball was not involved in, but they have found themselves involved in it. So we just have to wait and see what happens in court, and hopefully the team can recover from this with or without him. But it is going to be a massive distraction in a summer that feels like it has had a few distractions for Memphis basketball. And it's one of those deals where hopefully Penny and that staff and the remaining players can overcome something like this. They can overcome the bad news that has happened over this summer.
Right.
But that's why we have to keep approaching the season with the idea of cautious optimism, because we just don't know what it's going to look like, because this is a brand new team. There is not a single returning guy that you can hang your hat on. And the coaching staff is going to look a lot different with Nolan Smith. It's just...
And again, the guy that you thought could probably lead the charge offensively,
right,
now caught up in this.
Right.
And Sincere Parker's attorney, Arthur Horn, talked to the media this morning. He said, "We plan on fighting this. I just hope the public will give us time to sort through it so the whole story does come out, because there are two sides to this."
Right.
Two sides to every story. That's what Arthur Horn, Sincere Parker's attorney, said this morning to the media. Now, can I ask you this before we get into hour number two and talk with David Cobb about similar things, same things, quite frankly. Is there any good news? Is there any good news today that we can share with the people? That's what I want to know. In our first hour today, it's been a lot of negativity
with
because
Memphis
that's
sports?
that's what the news has provided us. Any positives?
I think that we can look at the Grizzlies Summer League.
Okay, yeah.
And say
there
were some positives there. I think Javon Small was one of the better rookies in the NBA Summer League. I think that P.J. Hall is a good signing.
They did sign P.J. Hall. That's worth mentioning, to a two-way contract.
Yeah, I think that's a good signing for the Grizzlies. You are able to find what looks like to be a diamond in the rough with Meshack.
Yes,
and
just get him on his two-way, because they waived Zion Pullen already.
And I think ultimately the Memphis Grizzlies had a really good offseason, and we can head into the season saying this team should be more competitive.
That's
simply because they're healthier. And I'm hoping that some of these rookies and P.J. Hall might be able to contribute a little bit. I don't know, man. It's dire. I'm doing my best.
Yeah,
I'm doing my best.
I ask for a little positivity. It starts with Grizzly Summer League and P.J. Hall.
Here's what I can
say. That's what you really want.
We made it through another week of Grizzlies offseason, and no one else got injured. We've already got a couple injuries. But hey, at least we made it through the summer league, and there wasn't a major injury to any of these guys. That, you know, to be honest, I'm going to take that as a win right now. There's not a ton.
This is insane, because you were once known, and I don't know if you're still known, as the Prince of Positivity.
I do my best. It's been a tough summer.
But you can't really find it.
I think that's Javon tough. Small was truly, in his minutes that he played in NBA Summer League, he was one of the better rookies that you saw. And he was so really good in last night
and
yesterday's
game. We're
diving
into Summer League for our positivity. That's just not a good sign.
Well, what? You want me to make something up?
No, okay. I'm not. I don't want you to make anything up. I'm pointing it out.
I think that the Grizzlies had a successful summer league overall. You saw strides from a few of the players that you wanted to. Javon Small was good. Meshack was good. I think that the PJ Hall signing makes a lot of sense for the Grizzlies. Yep. He showed flashes of being very good. His per 36 numbers were really good last season for the Denver Nuggets. They were good in summer league again.
Yeah, I do get a kick out of Sham Sharani when he reported that put out the summer league per 36 numbers for PJ Hall.
Here's what I will
24.2 points per game, 14.7 rebounds per game on 65.5% shooting. That was the per 36 that Shams put out about.
So last week, forgive me, I can't remember the name of the publication who put it out, but they did a summer league dive and they looked at players over the last few seasons and they were trying to determine what stats from summer league are quote unquote sticky, which means basically they matter and they can project what a player is.
Right.
Almost all of the per 36 numbers were the sticky stats.
Okay.
So that's why I think that Shams may have put that on there because that study had recently come out. PJ Hall, he's one of those guys, again, where he's probably not going to have a major impact. If he does have an impact on the team in any way, probably not a good season for the Grizzlies, but he's a good reinforcement to have. He's a big that actually makes sense. He's much better than any big that was on the Grizzlies' radar when they went into summer league.
So, better than Armando Bacot?
Sure.
That's what we're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And bye-bye Zion Pullen.
Yeah. Trying to dig out some.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Some positivity with that first hour, because we're going to hop right back into the negativity. Memphis, of course, denied by the Big 12 with a $200 million offer on the table. And, of course, Sincere Parker has been arrested. So Memphis basketball in their season, before we're even in the heart of offseason and into training camp, is in flux. We'll bring on David Cobb on the other side to discuss all that right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.